Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, to find common ground and take it to the next level with David Clark here on Blog Talk Radio. Each week, the show will encourage you to keep an open mind and prepare to open the door to new understandings. We will have an exciting array of diverse guests who will point up the fact that we are all spiritual beings having a human experience. Now your host, David Clark.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, where we will indeed be finding common ground and taking it to the next level. I'm your host, Dave Clark. I'm a spiritual adventurer, and I suggest you become the same. When you keep an open mind, you will see where you can find common ground so that you can relate rather than compare yourself to others. And you'll also come to see where we're all basically one, as in the same. Unique, but different. And with that said, I'd like to introduce tonight's episode. I'm thrilled to have Jessie Ann Nichols-George on. She is a co-author, and her work encompasses multiple fields of study and belief systems to help people create the life they desire to live. The work she does comes from, among many things, including a lifetime of study through personal experiences, radio show host, workshop presenter and speaker, author, learning the language of codes and symbolism to help people find their own personal true alignment and in-depth understanding of themselves and their connection to everything and everyone else, working with clients to achieve desired results and work through life processes for over 30 years, researching and studying the influences of environment, communications, personal dynamics, past lives, religions, cultural beliefs and lifestyles, metaphysics, holistic healing, energetics, quantum energy, herbs, astrology, numerology, feng shui, environmental design, signs and symbols, dreams and dream work, meditation and visualization, mantras, chanting, affirmations, paranormal activity and spirit communication, auras, tantra, relationship, chakra, intuition and psychic work, crystals and gemstones, tarot, past life regression, divining, laying on of hands and energy alignment. And there's more to be said, but I think that really says a lot right there. So I'm going to stop and introduce you to Jessie Ann Nichols-George. Jessie, once again, how are you tonight?
I'm doing well, David. And, you know, it is such a pleasure to be here with you tonight and to be on your show.
Well, I've been really looking forward to it, Jessie. And you know, I'm very interested on what we may cover tonight. We've talked a little bit about codes in the past, but for people that don't have any idea what a code interpreter does, would you be kind enough to shed a little light on that?
You know, I would love to. And it is kind of a different term than what people have heard. I mean, I think a lot of people have maybe heard of codes and that everything in the universe is kind of based on codes, and that term gets thrown around. But what I do as a code interpreter is I actually look at the codes and the patterns within things, and that encompasses all these different fields. Actually, I blend in about 50 different fields and practices to bring insights that I share with people. And when I look at the codes, what I'm doing is I'm interpreting that information and bringing it out into the world. So basically, when I work with somebody, it's like being able to help them discover their own personal blueprint in the world. And it's also like taking a look at their own personal handbook where they can start to learn about really who they are and who they function, how they function in this world. And it's like a guidebook of, you know, here's how you work in the world and here's how you interact with everything. And it explains so much because, as I say, codes don't lie. You know, we have that old phrase from Disneyland, dead men don't tell lies. You know, well, codes don't lie. And it's fun because I can literally find out the truth about anything. So regardless of what we've been programmed to believe, codes will tell us. And this also explains for us things like why you can take exactly the same thing, two people sitting in the same place at the same time, and they get totally different reactions to something. Why does one mm-hmm. have a positive experience and one have a negative experience? Well, we each have this own unique piece that is ours in the world, and we're not here to do everybody else's piece. We're here to do our piece. So the more we can understand that, the more we can live a compassionate life. The more we can live a compassionate life, can have that connection and open everything up as we often seek to do. And so what happens is, let's say I'm sitting here, I'm looking at a tree right now, and that tree has a particular coding based on the type of tree it is. And let's say I'm sitting here and there was somebody else here, and my coding is favorable to that tree. Matter of fact, I am very favorably coded to trees. And I'm having a great experience. I'm like, wow, isn't this great? Look at all the trees surrounding me. And the other person sitting here could be going, I hate trees. I can't stand trees. They don't work for me. They creep me out. They scare me.
Right.
Whatever it is for them. And that's what happens with code. Everything in the world has a code. And either we are coded to something or we're not coded to something. And I don't worry a lot about what we're not coded to, just because it's a little more of what I call neutral territory for us. What I really look at is, what are we coded to? And that's going to go basically what I call two different types of relationships. You're either going to be favorably coded or unfavorably coded. If you're favorably coded, that's like the twin flame, ecstatic, passionate, wonderful relationship. And mm-hmm. if you're unfavorably coded, it's kind of like the fatal attraction. You know, you're it's like an addiction. You want it, you got to have it, you know it's not good for you, you know it's not working, you know it's not really what you want, but you keep going back to it. So it just explains everything. And there isn't anything I can't delve into with this, which is what's really, really cool. I can look at cycles, and I can look at seasons, and I can look at people's personal years, and I can, you know, see the patterns that are going on for them, how their energy works in this world. I can see how they're going to do at a particular job, a particular type of job. I've worked with, say, musicians. I've worked with other coaches a lot in helping them code up their websites and coming up with titles and things like to them. So that they can maximize their benefit, helping them understand the best days and times of days to do things, seasons, regions of the country. I mean, you name it, we can delve into it. So that's kind
well,
of
why don't we? Why don't we start with the season that we're in? You know, since we've recently come into autumn. What would you have to say about that in this time of year? And is there any significance to Halloween, as an example, since that's coming up in a couple of days?
Yes. And this is such, for me, because my roots, I have, on one side of my family, I'm at least 13th generation Druidic practitioner. So Halloween's kind of a big time, because the Druidic practitioners were very earth-based, were very energy-based. And so to have the veils thin like they are at Halloween, it's like a personal new year for me. And I have to share a really funny story before I get into this, okay?
Sure, go for it.
Because you had in my title about being Wiccan. And many years ago, I had a store in California, in Cambria, California, as a matter of fact, which is a tiny little town. At that time, there was about 4,800 people that lived there. And we had 26 churches in the town. And the news station came to me and said, we want to do an interview on you about being a witch. And we want ceremony and ritual and everything like that. And I said, no. I'm not going to feed all of your crazeriotypes for media publicity. And so I said, what I want to do is I want people to know that they wouldn't be able to tell a witch if they were standing next to them. It could be their next-door neighbor or any of that, right? And
yes.
I want them to see that we're everyday people. So I brought them in. We definitely touched on some fun Halloweenish sort of thing all the same, but I did it about dispelling the myths. And I came right out and said, this is, you know, what I am at that time. And my boyfriend at the time, he was just panicked because he had seen, I think, two or three other shops that were kind of metaphysical shops burned down in the town. And he's like, oh my God, the shop's going to be burned, you know, by morning. And so we went home that night and they put it on the 5 o'clock news. I mean, it was primetime news. It went all over Southern California from the Central Coast down through Santa Barbara, the whole works. And so the trick-or-treaters start coming up that night. And this little boy comes to the door, and he must have been about 7 or 8 years old. And he goes, and he looks at me, and he goes, you're that lady that was on TV. And I go, yeah. And he goes, they said that you were a witch. And I go, that's true. Does that scare you? And he goes, no, that's way cool.
I love it.
So it was so fun to see, you know, we're not bending to the media and not bending to those power sources that are always trying to force us to do things that we don't necessarily want to do. You know, it was great to switch the tables and say, I'll give you an interview, but you're going to do it my way. And it kind of reminds us we have that power. And I wanted to share that story because it leads into the code energy of this particular Halloween.
Okay.
So if we take a look, for example, at just the energy of Halloween alone. Halloween alone, ironically, even though it's become very commercialized and materialized in the U.S. and things here with candy and all of that, it really is, the energy is non-monetary. It's actually a time of deep introspection. It's a time of deep looking within the self. And oftentimes the shadow self or the self that we consider core, in a sense, or what needs help. And that's a whole different, interesting perspective on it. And when we combine this with looking at some of the old world traditions, that it's about the veils being so thin that it allows us to communicate easier with those loved ones that have passed on, where souls can cross easily between the different planes of existence and things like that. That is a very deep introspection because, as you know from experiences in past lives, that having those doors open to look deeper into ourselves can be a very powerful thing.
Yes.
Very interesting. And in the old world traditions, or a lot of the Druidic or Wiccan or Celtic or even a lot of the Eastern traditions, Halloween time is not a one-night put-on-the-costume event thing. It's a three-day event that runs starting at midnight on the 30th going into the 31st, and it goes until midnight on the 2nd going into the 3rd. So it runs on the 31st, the 1st, and the 2nd. And the 31st is all the getting out and the release and the party aspect, if you want to say, the cutting loose, you know, delving into your shadow self, in a sense. And then the next day, the 1st, is really a rest and reflection period. And then the 2nd is really about bringing into the light and stepping into new light. So we have this death and this observation from within the universal womb, so to say, and then birth again at this time of year. So this is a whole, you know, interesting perspective, but it does really code to this time of introspection. It's an interpersonal time is what Halloween's about. But now when we look at it in terms of this particular year, and this is where it gets fun, because the same day each year is going to have a different influence or a different chain of transition to focus
okay.
on or to go to. And so when we look at this year, we have codes coming in on Halloween that are all about power and upheaval. And, you know, this is where we're going to see some of the power sources start to get upheaved. They're going to maybe try to make some power plays, but if they do things strictly for the sake of power, or people do things strictly for the sake of power at this time, it's going to wreak a lot of havoc in their life. So oftentimes what happens is we know people in control, people who want to have a lot of power, they get very nervous when that energy, you know, a little bit of turbulence comes in, a little bit of unsettledness, and they start misusing that power. Well, if they try to do that at this time, they're going to create their own destruction, basically. So,
well, you know, I'm yeah. intrigued, if I may interrupt you for a minute. Certainly the human experience is full of duality, and the light and the dark, the shadow self, as you've talked about. I'm wondering what it is that makes it necessary for us to walk through the dark and embrace the shadow self. This is just a rhetorical sort of question.
Uh-huh.
In order to see the light.
And it's interesting that you bring that up about the shadow, because this particular Halloween, when we look at Halloween on this day, that concept is humongously magnified this.
Really?
Think of the numbers 13 and 31, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They both have ones, they both have threes, but they're in different places. They're
yes.
a mirror to each other. And so this year, that's particularly magnified. And so 13, as we know, is a number of power. It's a number that, you know, power is neutral. It can be used either way. And a lot of people see 13 as unlucky, but it's only
mm-hmm.
unlucky if you're using that power. So, yeah, it's a huge piece. So we have that whole shadow side magnified this year, and it's bringing in the energy of responsibility this year.
Mm.
So that means we have to be responsible with power in particular. And this is like when we see these little code patterns like this, it's like little portals that open. When we see these sequences, portal that's going to open tomorrow, and however people are using their power is going to really have a huge influence on what happens for them.
Okay.
So it's a big piece in there.
Mm.
To look at that whole introspection. So yeah, we hear about the shadow a lot. When we talk about that, and you mentioned that whole, you know, walking through the shadow piece there, what it is everything in life has this natural cycling of death and rebirth. And a lot of people can get very wrapped up in death, 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 but it's not a bad thing. It's just a different phase. It's just a different phase of existence. It's all existence. And so the stepping into the shadow is really more about getting responsible. It's really more about being willing to surrender, in a sense, not lose, not sacrifice, but to surrender. And what happens is we get afraid of surrendering because that ego self, that mind self that wants to control things, doesn't want to relinquish its control, and so it makes the shadow out to be a bad thing. But it's not
well,
a bad
let,
thing.
Let me interrupt you again for a moment, because I used to have a horrible time with that concept of surrender. And I imagine there are other people out there that are struggling to understand that. And, of course, I've always found it better to let go of the struggle and allow oneself to be challenged in order to move through something or to surrender to a new way of being, if you will. And can you try to put it in simple terms what surrender means to you?
Yeah, and this is interesting because surrender is another big piece of this 3-day phase from the 31st through the 2nd. It's actually the other end of it on the 2nd. And so that surrendering of thought, to me, it's really about stepping out of the conflict and stepping into spirit. Because when we're struggling with the surrender piece, what we're doing is we're continuing to engage in conflict. We're continuing to say, I'm going to make this a competition. It's me versus you.
Mm-hmm.
And one of us has got to go. But when we surrender, it doesn't mean that we're giving up everything. It doesn't mean that we are defeated or any of that. What it means, for me anyways, is that I relinquish that controlling side of myself to my spirit self.
Mm-hmm.
And I allow myself to function from spirit. It doesn't mean I'm going to be totally void of challenges or things that are going to come up, but I stopped looking at them as a me versus it or me versus them. And the surrender process is about saying, I'm going to let go and I'm going to come from divine self. I'm going to come from spirit self. And when we do that and we say, what does this situation or this process have to teach me? Let me ride with this because there's something important for me to get. Otherwise, it wouldn't be having this interaction. There's something about it that is either painful or scary to me that, you know, I'm afraid to let go of this piece. There's something attached to it because if I wasn't afraid or in pain in some way, then I would easily be able to just delve into the process. Because when we come from spirit self, our spirit self goes, it doesn't stop and say, because I'm not making any money and I've got to go work a full-time job. It says, okay, right now, this is what we need and this is what we're going to do. And it doesn't view it as good or bad or losing out or stepping backward or any of that kind of process. It just says to be done, and I'm going to open my arms to that. And it's coming back to me because there's something there I haven't learned yet. So let's go in with an open mind and go, what do I need to learn in this journey? Let's face this pain so that we can get rid of it, or to not even so much get rid of it, but, you know, not have it interfering. Stop the competition, because anytime we're in competition, we're not in connection.
I always talk about it in terms of just nudging myself forward. And as you were talking, it made me think, reflect on what you were talking about earlier about the death and rebirth cycle, how when we surrender to the moment and step in our authentic selves and the light, step into our spirit, we're actually becoming born again in that moment as we face each challenge that comes along the way. Would you say?
Yes, and I want to mention that when we look at the codes that are involved for surrender, what that is it's really about lessons learned. So when we surrender, it's really about, again, stepping into that wisdom self and realizing, you know, these are lessons learned. We're not going to keep repeating this pattern of pain that we're locking ourselves into through resistance. We're going to open up and come from wisdom, is what it's saying.
Well, shall we take a break discussion and take a couple of calls and then come back to it?
Sure, that sounds great.
Okay. Well, I have a caller by the name of Anna who has been patiently waiting. She actually called in right when the phone lines opened, so I'm going to go to Anna. Anna, you're live on the air. Say hello to Dusty Ann.
Hi. Hello, and thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome, Anna. It's great to meet you.
Thank you. You got so much information. It's so wonderful. David always has beautiful spirits on his show. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Anna. Thank you.
I'm not too familiar with code, so I'm going to say, what should I ask or what should I do?
Well, is there something particular you're wanting to know about, Anna?
Well, I'm always interested in my finances. So if you can look into that financial code for me, I'll appreciate it.
Okay. Anna, do you spell your name with two N's or one N? Or
I spell it A-N-N-A, but it's actually A-N-N-A-B-E-L. I just use Anna for short.
Okay. So you actually have the B-E-L. Okay. And,
yes.
And, you know, finances are definitely one of those things that a lot of people have been challenged by in recent times and years. And, you know, even though it would take me a lot of time, more time than we have for this show,
of course,
to get really specific for you on things. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that, you know, I noticed right off that I can grab from your coding here is that, you know, you really come from a fairly evolved space. And you know, don't shy away from using your full name. I want to say that because it's actually more beneficial for you to use Annabelle than it is for you to use Anna.
Okay.
And the reason I say that is because, well, it's kind of split, and of course it would depend on what else is in there for you. But, you know, part of what happens is when you place yourself as Anna, you mm-hmm. place yourself in a victim position. And so in victim position, you're going to generate victim energy. And victim energy is going to keep you locked into some of these financial poverty kind of patterns. And when we look at the codes of poverty, for example, poverty it actually codes out to needing assistance. So it locks us into that vibration of need versus that vibration of abundance, for example. Now, when we look at, for example, your name Annabelle, and we start to bring in that area of coding to the more complete side of it, so to say, what I find is that you actually tend to think and try to operate on a very spiritual level. You have this aspect where you project the world almost like a Pollyanna view. You're going to make sure, by God, you're going to see the positive side of things. You're going to have that hope. You're going to have that faith there. And you're going to sit there and go, yes, it's all going to work out. It's all going to be fine. But what you struggle with sometimes is the practical responsibility piece. And oftentimes mm-hmm. it takes a really critical challenge to come up, like almost losing your home or losing your vehicle or things like that, for mm-hmm. you to wake up and take action. And the reason is because you do come from this more evolved space of thinking, the spiritual way of thinking, the material world really doesn't make sense to you very much, and you really don't live in it, and you really could care less about a lot of the material methods for doing things or practices in a lot of ways.
Right.
So, you know, it's kind of like, yeah, let somebody else operate the computer. Let somebody else run the books. You know, I just want to function and let everybody be happy, and I just want to be in my happy space because I remember what happy space is like. And I don't want to look at the bad stuff in life. I don't want to look at what's challenging me. You know, I have a friend that deals with this pattern, and mm-hmm. I was just talking with her the other day. And she used to get in a car accident every time she needed money.
Oh.
And I finally said to her, I said, when are you going to stop doing that to yourself? You know, don't wait for the crisis to hit. Don't wait for the car accident to hit before you do something. So, you know, my suggestion to you is to start taking the little pieces that you're uncomfortable with in the material world, the things that you really prefer not to deal with because you know they're really not the way the spiritual functions. The thing is that you have to be able to function in this world, no matter how much spiritual energy you have, no matter how much awareness or wisdom you have to be able to function in this world. And I would imagine if I delved further into it, it wouldn't surprise me if you're connected with one of the energies of where you're carrying the energy of being a transmitter, because oftentimes when I see people with this coding that I'm pulling from you at the moment, I often see them as a channel between the earthly and the divine. In other words, they are a channel for the divine to connect and to understand and to see what's happening in this world. And they're also a channel of the divine to get into this world.
Oh.
So you're really kind of a big catalyst, and I imagine that you probably connect a lot of people, too.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So, see, finances for you, there's a couple of things. For you to really get first of all, you don't really have a big interest in finances as a general rule of thumb, so you have to kind of get interested in them in a sense, and you have to definitely focus on what you love to do. It's got to have some kind of spiritual value or purpose or benefit to the world for you to be involved with it, because the mundane just doesn't do it for you.
That's true.
Yeah. You just can't do the mundane work.
Thank you.
So, yeah, if you focus on that, you can definitely turn your money situation around. But it does require you taking those little steps to get to build your responsibility piece.
Okay, I will.
Yeah.
Just curious, what kinds of little steps can she take? I mean, you've talked about going with her passions, if you will. This is a common concern that's raised by callers is finances, and I'm wondering if you can address that in a little more depth.
Yeah, so the little steps are, for example, you know, just seeking out the resources that can help you. Like, if you're not going to do something yourself, who and what are the resources that can help you do various things? So, for example, I have a place I was doing a venue recently, and one of the people connected with that venue does not do, matter of fact, she has the same coding. She does not do computers. She's terrified of them. Books, you know, calculations. But it is important for her to know where the books are. It's important for her to know that people are around her that can help her. And so that's some of the little steps, is just researching, okay, what is it that I really don't like, and who are the people that can help me get through that piece, or that can help me, who would be my resource for that piece. And that's a big thing for Annabelle, is to know who her resources are to go to. You know, the next step is to, you know, is to constantly be searching out, okay, where are the places that I could go to work, for example, that have the same values that I have.
Okay.
You know,
like
those alignments like that, because so many times people just cave in and they're just like, well, I'm just going to go take anything.
Yeah.
And, you know, that, and that's one of the things I do help people find in my coding, some of the professions or types of work that are compatible for them to do. I'm trying to think here, just even with her coding right now off the top of my head. you know, she does, Annabelle does really well with things that are simple. simply based simplicity. You know, she does very well with that. She does very well working with people who are in challenging times or lean times. She's a very good ear for a lot of people. She's a very good support system for a lot of people. She's very good at helping people break past labels. So she really might want to be looking at something that's, you know, more in that capacity of mission. I don't want to say just straight out mission work, but, you know, that has that purpose of helping community.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That's what my passion is.
Yeah, so putting your attention in that area of helping people that are in need, helping people that are going through lean times. And there are a whole ton of mission projects everywhere that deal with that.
Yeah, you're so right.
And women's shelters, she would be excellent probably in women's shelter work because of her spiritual alignment. And we would oftentimes see her as an angel. Matter of fact, you know, it wouldn't even surprise me if she's favorably coded as an angel and has earth angel energy.
Yes, yes, I'm sure, no question. Yeah, how does that strike you, Annabelle?
Did that strike me as being so real?
Oh,
right,
I love it.
You're right on with that.
I love it. We do have angels walking in human form on this planet. Absolutely. Well, Anna, may I call you Annabelle?
Oh, you may.
Well, Annabelle, I always enjoy your energy. You bring such a bright spirit to the show. And, you know, thank you for calling in tonight. I think we'll move on at this point in time. You're feeling complete. And, you know, I God bless you.
Thank you so much for your assistance.
You are most welcome. And we're going to be doing more discussions, so feel free to hang on the line and listen. And I hope you have a beautiful evening. Okay. I just disconnected you prematurely, Annabelle. My apologies. Okay. Let's go on to one more caller, and then we'll talk a little bit more, if that's okay, Jesse.
Yeah, that's
great. Do you prefer to be called Jesse Ann?
You can call me Jesse, and I'm good either way, but Jesse works for me.
Okay. Well, we have a Skype caller here, and I'm not used to this laptop. And okay, you are live. What is your name, please?
Hi, this is Stacy, my real name is Georgette.
Hi, Georgette. Nice to talk to you. How are you tonight?
Thank you. Very well. Thank you.
Good. Good. Well, say hello to Jesse.
Hi, Jesse.
Hi, Georgette. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing well. Thank you. I'm listening so intently to, you know, what you're saying, and this is something that I have been, you know, myself delving into for many years. So I could definitely resonate with a lot of what you're saying. And I'm calling in because my question would be about opportunities and my path at this point in my life. I'm 57 years old. I kind of reinvented myself a couple of times. And I would really like to have a soul connection with doing something out there in the world, and also being financially independent. So can you give me any guidance on that?
Yeah, and, you know, here again, I just want to, you know, emphasize, David, that I'm kind of going off of a very small piece of people tonight.
Yeah.
You know, when I run things for people, we can really hone in very specifically and absolutely, because then I can really look at the full patterns on things. But, you know, one of the things I see right off, Georgia, when I'm looking at your aspects, is that you haven't chosen an easy life this lifetime, I would say. And that, you know, when people look at you, they say, man, you have really had a lot of unexpected things thrown at you. You've really had a lot of challenges and trials and tribulations, as they would say, along the way. A lot of uncertainties to deal with. And I think that there's been danger around you, and I also think that there's been grief around you. And I don't mean that in a psych out, hey, let's dwell on the negative aspect. But I think that you are dealing with a lot of lessons this lifetime that you're probably clearing a lot of karma, because a lot of times when I'm seeing this pattern come up, it's oftentimes when somebody is transiting into another soul phase. So they're kind of like wrapping up a lot of stuff. And, you know, when I look at this pattern that you're in, it also, you know, there's a lot of just treachery type of stuff. Like, you haven't been able to rely on people. So really, when you talk about going into business for yourself, it's probably a really good idea for you to do. You do best on your own. You're going to do best where you don't have to rely on other people. And that's going to be a big piece of things for you. I'm kind of taking a look here and seeing what else you have going on in here. You have to deal with a lot of shifts and changes. And I would say by your nature, and this is one of those things where we look at it and we say, all of your challenges that you've been through in life is what you're supposed to be sharing. It's like you went through those challenges in order to know how to help other people get through those challenges. And you have in you, interestingly enough, you're a hidden piece of gold. You really are. You know, the part that people don't always see is that you are, you've almost got like a heart of gold in there, and you are this gem that just seems to just bounce back. It's like, no matter what happens in your life, you really kind of come from this compassionate space, and that's powerful. But, you know, that's powerful for people to see that level of grace. You handle things with a lot of grace. You're also just in your coding as well, is showing that this lifetime is about applying a lot of what you've learned in previous lifetimes or previous soul stages. Because it's like you've not just this lifetime been through a lot, but another lifetime's been through a lot, and now these challenges are coming up to, you know, help you show yourself that indeed you've learned your lesson and that you're not repeating cycles. So you're breaking a lot of cycles this lifetime. A lot of cycles.
Okay.
Is that resonating with you?
Very much resonating with me. And you know, because right now I've had some opportunities presented to me and they've all fallen through. It's just so when you talked about letting go or surrendering, that's something that I started to really take on and integrate, I would say, within the last couple of months.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a matter of, you know, really wanting to align with my spirit self to, you know, step into the right and perfect situation by surrendering.
Yeah, surrender is a huge key for you when you're dealing with the kind of pattern of trials and tribulations. Probably one of the key lessons is about surrender. How do I surrender? How do I step through this with grace? And another thing that's coded in you is the symbology of the egg. So I want you to think about that a lot, too, because that that egg symbology is all about new life, and that is a huge aspect of where you are. You're preparing for new life, new rebirth. You, you know, you are creation and development.
Mm. Okay, so even in this lifetime, you're saying new life.
Even in this lifetime, it's really, yeah, because this lifetime, what it's doing is you're getting all these things to prepare you to move forward more, mm-hmm. and to show others that it's, you know, we're not here to repeat these cycles. You take war, for example. War is a cycle of souls that keep getting repeated over and over again. And what happens is, you know, you get somebody who murders somebody, they come back in the next lifetime, the person that was murdered murders the person. You know, it mm-hmm. alternates in these types of drastic situations. Well, somewhere you have to stop that. So it's like, you know, if you're in an abusive or controlling pattern, you know, it's not that you stand there and take the abuse. Surrender is not about that, for example.
Right.
But it's about, you know, acknowledging, okay, I've placed myself in this position and no, I don't like this, and now I need to move out of this situation. I need to surrender to being alone as opposed to being with this person or that type of thing. Mm-hmm. You know, I need to surrender to my time to heal type of thing.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So yeah, surrender is huge, and so you're a big example in this lifetime of teaching people how to break those patterns and not fight fire with fire. You know, you don't end war with war. You end war with peace. And that's what you're teaching people.
Right. And I always felt that I had a message to deliver to people. I really, that's the other thing that I feel like I want to step into, is doing
right.
that.
Yes, and I'll tell you right now that your message probably has something to do with ego.
Uh-huh.
With the ego, and that plays into a lot of different directions, because it's always our ego that keeps us wrapped into these addictions and patterns.
Yes, yes.
And to control. So mm-hmm. ego is your piece to focus on, and I would even start for you by just starting to focus in. I know when I focused in on my message of compassion, it was really hard. I was like, well, which of the 10,000 things should I focus on, you know, that I know about? So I went to what was my pet peeve, and my pet peeve was judgment. And I said, great, what's the polar opposite or the remedy, so to say, to judgment? Well, it's compassion. Mm-hmm. And that just opened realms for me, and that's how I got to my message of compassion. Turns out compassion is incredibly well coded to me, which I didn't know at the time I was looking at it. But, and just pulling something out off the top from what I'm seeing right now, I would say there's something rooted in your work that is founded around the ego. And again, that symbology of the egg and rebirth, and you know, being able to sit still and to observe and to surrender. You think about the egg. The egg is a great symbology of surrendering, because you know what's growing inside of the egg. You know, can't do anything but surrender.
Right.
Really.
Right. Until it's ready.
Until it's ready, and being patient enough being patient enough to see that through. So it's a very powerful message to bring in the world, and just think about even as you start to bring this out, you know, small groups, local libraries oftentimes will allow people to do talks for free. You know, you can't necessarily get paid for them, but it does start to build your credibility and your connections, so that you can then you know, step out. Also, writing blog posts and simple things like that that allow you to kind of work through your own processes and thoughts, but it gets your work out there where people start to get familiar with you. So those are some great, easy things that don't cost anything to get started. A lot of groups and things. You know, we talk about all the different groups out there with Annabelle, like the women's shelters and things like that. They love to have people come in and share their work. Senior citizen places love to have people come in and share their work.
Well, I've been wanting to start an empowerment group. So would you say the word empowerment fits in at all with that?
I had a little hard time hearing that.
I've been wanting to start empowerment group.
Empowerment, okay.
Yes. And so I was wondering if that fits in at all with my coding.
I would have to look at your full energy coding to know with that. But, yeah, empowerment is another piece of ego work.
Mm-hmm.
Empowerment is kind of a balancing point to ego, because the ego has no power, really, which is why it creates so much turbulence in our life. I would actually suggest, if you're very into empowerment groups and things like that, I would go to Facebook, and there's a couple of places I would check out. One of the projects I'm involved in that I'm a co-collaborator on is called Embraced by the Divine, a woman's gateway to power, passion, and purpose. And it's a book that's getting ready to come out that's women's anthologies of the dark night of the soul kind of things, and angels on earth and all kinds of stuff. In that group, the woman that brought everybody together, Michelle Mayer, and also Lorraine Cohen, do a lot of empowerment work and empowerment circles for coaches and people wanting to become coaches. And I would look up Lorraine Cohen, Lorraine.
Oh, I get her emails.
Oh, you do? Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's wonderful.
Okay, good. And what is your website, Jesse?
My website is going to be my full name, thenumber1.com. So it's Jesse Ann Nichols George, thenumber1.com.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for asking that. That was going to be my next question after we said goodnight.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you.
Well, you have a beautiful evening.
Thank you. You do the same. I appreciate all of your work.
Oh, thank you. Well, God bless, and feel free to tune in again tomorrow night just to let people know. I have Kat Edwards from Australia. She's a brilliant psychic medium, and she'll be on Halloween our time. It will be November 1st her time, and so feel free to call back in again for that.
Okay, will do. Thank you again.
Okay. Have a good night. All right. Bye. Well, I'll tell you, a lot of stuff came up for me as you were talking to, was it Georgette? Did I get the name correctly?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I was having trouble hearing the Skype call, and you did very well. I had to turn the phone around in order to be able to understand what she was saying. But you talked about the karmic cleansing that she may be going through in this life, and I thought that would be an interesting discussion because, you know, some people lead such challenging lives where it seems like they're just dealing with so much pain and so many different challenges and struggles, if you will, that when you take a look at it, practical level, it just doesn't seem fair. And spiritually, of course, it does make sense. But can you talk a little bit about that?
You know what's very interesting, David, about karma is a lot of people have given it a bad rap. You know?
Yeah.
It's been like karma's this bad thing. Like karma's going to come up and bite you in the rear end. You know, karma's going to get you for that. And really what karma is, you know, ties right in with the universal laws of balancing. You know, it ties right in with cause and effect. And
right.
It's completely neutral. It's we've made a choice at some point going to have an effect. So it's
mm-hmm.
like when we get anxious about something, that's going to create a certain effect. It's
mm-hmm.
completely neutral. All it does is be the vehicle that it all gets carried out through. So it kind of gets this bad rap. But it's, you know, the good stuff happens that way as much as the challenging stuff. And what's interesting is people are noticing karma more and more these days because our time distances are shortening. And when I say that, it used to be, okay, you would create something in one lifetime and maybe three or four lifetimes down the line, you'd be dealing with the effect of it. Well, now that cause and effect, that like now you do something and you're dealing with it, you know, maybe in a year or two or 6 months or 3 months. The time
right.
frame is shrinking, so we're getting a more immediate effect to our choices in things.
Mm-hmm.
And when we look at karma carries the energy of what's referred to as like the Wheel of Fortune. Here again, it ties right into, and this is where Halloween has so much association with it, because it's beginnings and endings. And it is this whole finishing one phase, starting a new phase. It's an opportunity to write, you know, wipe the slate clean, so to say. It's the Wheel of Fortune. And the Wheel of Fortune, as we know, is nothing more than the law of cause and effect. So
right.
when we understand that, we create our own fortune. What happens, especially if we look at multiple lifetimes, for example, what happens with it is that we come into a lifetime and we don't remember what we did necessarily all the other lifetimes until somebody goes through past life regression or they go through session work or get some piece that comes up or comes to me for coding and starts to unfold it. But, you know, so we don't remember and we're dealing with the effect. It's like, but I'm such a nice person. Why do all these bad things happen? You created it. Somewhere you made the choices, and I can even say that, you know, in my own life, people go, but you've done all this great work. Why would you hit these challenges? And it's like, because, you know, the choices I made did that. For me, that was still the best path, even though it had its challenges to it.
Well, you know, the thing about challenges are that, you know, you talked about lessons learned. And I think that's a really significant point that you made. But as you go through and learn these lessons and learn them well and begin to take the responsibility word that you used earlier and make choices that are for the highest good, that then it seems to create a real shift. And whatever wasn't working before suddenly, if you will, I mean, again, we're dealing with cause and effect, but suddenly things are working that weren't working before because you've changed your whole modus operandi. You're walking in the light, if you will, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. And boy, I came face to face with that not long ago here in Sioux Falls. I came back here and I was almost feeling like a dog crawling back with their tail between the legs. I felt beaten up, you know. It's just a challenging year for me. And I came back here and I said, okay, well, obviously I'm supposed to stop and observe and regroup for a while. And so obviously I'm supposed to be planted here in Sioux Falls for a reason. So I'm just going to surrender to that process. You know, I'm running through all of my own stuff. I'm going, okay, I'm just going to surrender the process. I'm going to get through this. And, you know, after I'd been here a little while and I was connecting with some people and all of a sudden these old patterns that I have dealt with many times in my life, you know, start showing up again. I'm like, oh, really? Really? You're going to put me through this again? You know, this is not working for me. It's like, is it not bad enough that I'm here regrouping, that I'm doing this or that? Although I shouldn't say bad, you know, because really it's been an amazing journey while I've been here. And so I said, you know what? I am not repeating this pattern ever again. That's all there is to it. I am not doing this over again. And I said, I'm going to handle this differently. And I'm not going to react. You know, I'm just going to just move forward. And I'm not going to do the big happy smile around these people that's going to antagonize them and trigger their stuff that they have going on. And I started looking at them as merely catalyst for things and not intending to do what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started looking at the shadow pieces and the mirror pieces, and I'm going, okay, you know, what part of me is feeling like it needs control? Well, gee, I'm back here in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and that's not where I wanted to be. You know, there's a piece of where I didn't feel like I had control, and, you know, so it comes out through these people. And so I shifted, and I said, you know what? I'm just going to be at peace in this situation, and I'm just deciding this time I'm changing the game up. And I'm not going to get upset, and I'm not going to go down this road, and whatever's going to be, and they can act however they're going to act, but I'm going to feel happy inside of me, because that's what
I love it. I love it. I love it. It comes down to the choice. It really does. And thank you for that.
Yeah, I said, I'm going to smile from my heart, and every mm-hmm. day I'm going to look at what is really happening with those people. And I'm going to say, you know what, you who have to exert your superiority and your control factor and be right all the time, I want you to really experience true confidence. I want you to experience true being in control in life and having true power. And I just admitted that from my heart. And again, I didn't do the big happy smile on the outside to antagonize them, but I was always smiling on the inside. I said, you know what? I'm going to feel peace, and I'm going to go forward with enjoying my day regardless of what anybody else chooses. And that's what I did. And it wasn't easy some days when people were ignoring me. You know, I'm sitting in a group of people and everybody goes silent, you know, like you're that person, they walk in the room, you know, they're talking about you, and they go silent when you walk in the room type of thing. And I just went out and go to my business and let them have their space. And, you know, the interesting thing was, is after I did that for about a week or two, they all started changing. And then what was really interesting and what's turned around since then is now they treat me totally different.
Mm-hmm.
And they approach me different. And they don't approach me in these controlling ways anymore. And they don't approach me in these other factors. And it all comes back to how I chose to be. I chose that that was not going to be something I was going to not participate in the competition. I chose that I was going to be happy regardless of what everybody else was doing. And it turned everything around. So,
well, it's amazing how that works. It really is, you know. And it's wonderful to hear people testify to those kinds of experiences, because I don't think we hear it enough. And I can so relate to that. And I wondered what you might have to say about people that seem to come from the dark side, that do come from a place of great ego, that are very controlling and manipulative. How would you characterize them? And I'm searching for words carefully here, and maybe I'm being too compulsive. I'm just wondering, there obviously are teachers, and there are lessons to be learned from them, but is there such a thing as young souls and old souls?
No, I believe that there is definitely a thing as young souls and old souls, and it's really about the volume of wisdom, and we know that because everything in the universe is a macrocosm and a microcosm, and so knowing that we have children and adults on Earth, you know, things like this, that same parallel is going to be in souls, And when it comes down to it, it really just is a matter, you know, we all have the information there. It's just like a child has the potential to do anything an adult has
mm-hmm.
to do. They just
yes.
haven't learned how to do it yet. And it's the same thing. They haven't tapped into that knowledge. So when we talk about old souls and new souls, you know, that's really it. And what happens is when we come into this incarnation, basically we're getting disconnected and we don't remember all of this knowledge we have. Everybody has the knowledge I have. You know, everybody has the full super conscious knowledge of everything. But we forget that we are that. We forget that we have that. We forget that that's there, and we forget how to access that. And we get into this world, this third dimensional world, and, you know, we forget how to operate sometimes from that spiritual mind. We forget that we still have that connection, and we get in this, you know, holographic images that seem so real around us, wrapped up in all the programming. If we look at how we're raised and we think we're being raised to do the so-called right thing, and it's, you know, we're not raised to embrace ourselves, for example, or we're not raised
right.
to how to work with us and what we're doing and our piece in the world. So, you know, when we look at that shadow aspect coming at us, a lot of people don't like it because it's scary, because it's a piece of themselves somewhere that they don't like to look at. And people will say, yeah, but I'm not manipulative, or I'm not controlling, or I'm not whatever else is treacherous.
Mm-hmm.
You know, operate with this lack of integrity or things like that. But somewhere,
yes.
somewhere there's a thread of that. It may not be our overt everyday characteristic, but here again, when we look at the bigger patterns of what treachery and deception and manipulation is about, well, it's those are all forms of control. And
yes.
So if we bring it back around and say, well, where don't I feel in control of my life? Where do I feel powerless in my life? Where am I feeling insecure in my life? It all stems from this insecurity, this lack of knowing, this uncertainty. And so when we start to really look at it from the bigger aspect, and if we look at things from spirit's mind, from God mind, whatever term you want to use there, then we also realize that what that person is sharing with us, and I like to use that word, sharing with us, because it's information that's being shared, is really us. It's really a piece of ourself trying to get our attention, saying, I'm feeling insecure. I feel powerless right now. And most of us are trained to say, oh, don't go to that space. Don't indulge those feelings of powerlessness. But we need to acknowledge them. It's very important to acknowledge the fact that I feel powerless in this space, or that I'm not feeling comfortable, or I'm not liking what it is, or I'm hurting in some way.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to dwell in that space, but we need to acknowledge it so that we can chart another course for ourselves. If we never acknowledge it, we can't get off of that course.
Well, so many people try to escape uncomfortable or what might be perceived as negatively charged feelings, is not to say that they're bad feelings, it's just part of the human experience. And if we deny ourselves those feelings, we're denying a part of our experience and our lessons. And I loved what you were saying about people not being able to see certain aspects of their shadow self, because it can be so so subtle. You know, I never realized that I was a manipulative and controlling person in my past, and those are just labels that I'm putting on myself and judgments too. But I had those aspects of self that I wasn't able to see in myself. And it wasn't until I started to react to other people and wondered why they were pushing my buttons, which was giving my power away by becoming a victim to somebody else's power, that I started to do the work and recognize what needed healing within myself. And that, as I see it, is the work that we all have to do if we're going to be able to embrace the totality of ourselves.
Absolutely. And like you, I have had that said to myself in the past, and that's why that exercise that I used here in Sioux Falls of just projecting from the heart to say, you know what, I want you to know what it feels like to be totally loved and accepted. I want you to know what it feels like to be truly in power. And sending that out to those people, because being the fact that they're just a catalyst for ourselves to communicate to ourselves,
yes,
then we're also sending that same love and wishes to ourselves. So whatever we're wishing those anybody else in this world is what we're wishing on ourselves. And
well, I've heard it. Yeah, I've heard it said that when somebody reacts in a manner that's unpleasing to you, that it's really a cry for help, and love is always the antidote. And I love what you were saying about compassion. I think an aspect of the heart that a lot of people underrate. And a lot of times it takes going through those dark nights of the soul in order to develop that compassion within so that you can extend it to another person. Wouldn't you say that's true?
Yes. And, you know, the interesting thing is when things are coming at us through other people, it's really our big wake-up call.
Yeah.
Okay? It's our big wake-up call. It's like, let's take a situation that's big these days, bullying, abuse, okay? And somebody says, yeah, but I would never be an abuser like that person is abusing me. Maybe not, but what that person is wanting is control. And what you're wanting is control of your own life because you're not taking it as abuser. And
right.
So that abuser keep coming at you until you take control of your own life. When you take control of your own life, and that doesn't mean you have to fight back or, you know, get into some huge thing with that person. It just means you need to take control of your life. And I say that it's a big warning flag when it's coming through somebody else, because that's like layer two of three layers. We have layer one, which is being able to listen to it or catch a lesson by observation without it being directly in our lives. For example, you see somebody put their hand on a hot stove, they get their hand burned, it hurts, and you learn your lesson just by observing that, saying, oh, yeah, I'm not going to put my hand on a hot stove because I saw what happened. And you know, or I know from within myself that if the stove is hot and I put my hand on it, it's going to hurt, right?
Right.
Go through that lesson. But, you know, what happens is if we don't get it from within ourselves first, and we don't do
mm-hmm.
it through conscious observation and
mm-hmm.
work on ourselves, then it's going to
mm-hmm.
come out of somebody else, okay? That's step two. If we still refuse the lesson coming at us through somebody else, what it does is it comes back to internalizing, but internalizing on a physical level, at which point we start manifesting all kinds of disease and health issues in our body, because when we're not listening and we're living in resistance, we put our bodies under high stress, which then acidifies the body and starts creating disease. This is another reason why we're seeing a lot of cancer come up. Not only, there's a lot of pieces to cancer, and of course that's a very individualized process, but also because another stage, whether it's cancer or some other disease in the body or health issue in the body, inflammation or whatever it is, we're all coded to different physical triggers.
Yes.
You know, I'd be coded to heart issues, somebody else might be coded to cancer, somebody else, you know, is coded to brain tumors, whatever it is. But if we don't listen from the message that's coming through other people, it will then go to our body and start to manifest in ways that will immobilize us until we're
Well, let me ask you a question. This is going back to something that you were talking about earlier. And that is, of course, that all wisdom comes from within, and it can be obtained different ways, either through direct life experience or through observing. Do you believe that wisdom can be taught?
Well, I believe that we learn a lot of different ways.
Mm-hmm.
All the information is already within us, but oftentimes we create our holographic images, whether that's people or experiences or whatever it is in the outer world, to help us recall that information.
Mm-hmm.
And it's oftentimes like our soul has got a little trigger, like, okay, you need to, you know, you've come into this lifetime choosing to get certain things or to work on certain things, or, you know, you've chosen certain paths in this life, in this world. And so, you know, as you delve into this, if you're not going consciously on that path, then what we're going to do is start, you know, again, creating it through other people for you to get it. So I think that there's multiple ways to learn. People oftentimes need something external, or they believe they need something external in order to get the lesson. In some ways it's easier because it's engaging their senses as a human being.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes the younger the soul is, that it's easier if it's external to them. The caution, of course, in that is that anytime we move it externally, in order to deal with something or to experience something, we also, as human beings, through our ego self, try to, you know, use that then as an excuse. You know, it opens that door of excuses and blaming and other patterns like that you know, can really send us down another, you know, another whole path. Like, well, see, it's outside of me, therefore it's not me, therefore, you know, I didn't
right,
do
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
So it's very easy to walk that path once it becomes external. But in reality, if we sit in stillness, if we sit in observation, you know, the world is such a magnificent place. And I have people that think that they would just be bored if they didn't have all this external stimulation going on. But those are the people that also yet, you know, have to connect and learn about how magnificent the world is. The smallest thing, there's so much magnificence. I mean, the whole working of the universe is in a single seed or leaf. Or I mean, it's incredible.
Well, until I got that all comes from the inside, that there's nothing on the outside that can make me feel any particular way other than to inspire me from within. You know, until I got that, I was caught up in a world of attachment. And I think that a lot of people have no idea how strongly attached they are to the external world, people, places, things. And that they base their happiness upon those things, when indeed the only thing that can make a person happy is themselves. What do you think about that?
Yes, and the younger the soul, the more likely they are to have attachments to things in this world. Just like we go through these phases when we're babies. We're still very connected to the divine. We really haven't emerged and merged into this world a whole lot. As we grow older and we become older children and we become teens and we, you know, hit our early 20s, we hit a very materialistic phase. And it is, you know, that whole, it's all about attachments. So when you think that the soul operates in the same way, but then as you grow older, oftentimes, the less and less attachments you have. And it's interesting because, you know, even decades ago, I would have said, no, I don't really have all of these attachments. You know, I had no idea.
Yeah, right.
But then I went through periods in my life where I literally lost everything I owned. I had a period where I moved from Arizona to southern Utah to be closer to family, closer to my mom and her aging years and things. And I ended up having to put my entire life diplomas, the whole works, into a dumpster because it had all been infected by black mold. So not only was I not in a brand new place, you know, that I wasn't familiar with, that I didn't know the energy with, everything around me was new. Right down to the clothes of my back went into that dumpster.
Mm.
I had, you know, about the only thing that survived was my crystal. Ironically, everything. And then when I left Utah, and at that time, you know, I had moved into a house and everything. I had a wonderful house, apple tree, peach tree, grapevine, you know, just really a nice place. You know, there was some damage there. I kept things very simply. I said, I don't want to load it up with a whole bunch of stuff. I want a little more Zen feel, a little more, you know, prayer room, that type of thing. I had a 2,400 square foot house to live in with beautiful views, the whole works, right? And I finally felt like, oh, okay, maybe my life will turn around here, right? And then everything shifted and turned in a way that pulled me out of Utah a little over a year ago, and I went from that 2,400 square foot home to a 24 square foot vehicle.
Oh my!
And went on the road full time. And so, you know, talk about paring down and saying, you know, having to walk that talk of not being attached to material things. And it's been quite a journey. So, yeah, when we really think about it, that, you know, that's where that gratitude piece and everything comes in. And you start saying, okay, you know, I'm really grateful I have this vehicle and I'm not sitting out in the rain right now. You know,
Exactly.
You know,
I think gratitude is such an important piece. And, you know, to me, that's the gateway to abundance, not just of things, but of everything that fills up spirit. You know? And
well, your physical world's going to reflect your inner world. So until you feel abundant inside of yourself, your physical world is not going to reflect that. And, you know, of course, there's many layers to that. You know, and rich people, they may not be happy, they may not be fulfilled, but they feel abundant and they generate abundance. So there are many layers to that. And people can be very happy, but they may not really truly feel or connect with their abundance, and so they're not experiencing it. And I find many people that are doing the spiritual work, oftentimes there's a spiritual material conflict pattern in their coding too. And since we've been programmed that if you're going to walk a spiritual path, you can't have anything material. And that's a whole show in and of itself, David.
Yes, it certainly is. It certainly is. Talk about the material. I'm dealing with my little laptop here, and thankfully we're still connected. Maybe one final thing that we could explore. Certainly believe that we're all spiritual beings having a human experience. But when you were talking with Annabelle earlier, you were talking about angel energy in people. And I'm wondering how that manifests, what the dynamics of that are at play in this life when there are so many people that don't have that energy. Is that from the culmination of all of our soul's work that brings that energy to some people?
You know, it's definitely oftentimes will represent a soul who has taken a certain amount of evolvement in life or in their soul process of things. but it's not about that person's a better person or a bigger piece.
Right.
It's really about a piece that they're working on for themselves. So I'm also a person that has angel coding in my name. I know some other people that have that coding in their name as well, and in their vibrational patterns. And so, you know, when we look at those pieces, those are really people that are here to step into their angel self. And, you know, we look, there's many layers. You know, you have the Mother Teresa's and people in the world. They're here as living examples. And, you know, they're oftentimes willing, come in willing to go through things because they know their values outside of the material world. They, you know, they know the importance of certain things to get a message across. They are here as, you know, we're all sparks of the divine, but they're here to help other people remember their sparks, and they're working on a particular aspect of the divine energy, which is angel energy. And again, that, you know, angels, archangels, we try to make these huge hierarchies of stuff, but, you know, it's not really about it being a hierarchy. You know, every piece has its value. You know, every person has their piece to do. And if we do our own piece, and we all do our own piece, then we get to see the whole puzzle. But trying to make our piece fit in someplace that it doesn't go, if we're busy trying to be everybody else's piece, then we're not going to get to see that whole picture. So no piece of the puzzle is, the corner piece isn't more important than the centerpiece and the puzzle. Every single piece has something to offer. Every single piece has something unique about it.
I think that's an important message and probably a good place for us to stop tonight. I've really, really thoroughly enjoyed the show, Jesse, and I thank you so much for coming on.
It's definitely been my pleasure, David, and, you know, I could just talk all night.
I could, too, and, you know, we had some other callers who, for whatever reason, dropped away, and one of them was somebody I recognized who had lived in her vehicle for a few years and identifies herself as a light worker, which she certainly is, and I would have been interested to have had her talk to you, but that will have to wait for another time.
Well, and it's interesting when you look at those things, and, you know, sometimes when some of these things happen, it's very easy to feel like a victim at first. But in reality, as you, again, surrender and embrace the journey, you start to just realize, man, what an incredible experience I'm having right now, and I love this.
Well, I actually prefer the dialogue to taking multiple callers. It can be actually a little boring from this end. But God bless Annabelle and Georgette, if I have your name right, and everybody else who's listening. And know that I broadcast live on Sundays, Mondays, Thursdays, and Fridays at 7:30 Eastern Time. And my shows are live. Blog Talk Radio was on freespiritbroadcasting.com. So thanks again, Jesse.
Thank you, David. It's been a pleasure.
Great. So once again, we come to a close. Now we can pause and reflect upon the idea that we are all united through the diverse tapestry of our individual gifts. There's no real thing as separation except in our own minds. Each divine expressions of the ultimate of our beings. We are spiritual beings having a human experience who can and will have a spiritualist experience if we allow it to be. Have a great week, and remember, whatever you do.
You have been listening to Different Strokes for Different Folks. to find common ground and take it to the next level here on Blog Talk Radio with David Clark every Friday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. You can listen to this broadcast again on srbroadcasting.com.
Good night, Jesse.